Canby New Life Foursquare Church welcomes you. We're located at 2350 Southeast Territorial Road, just off Highway 99E. We hope the following message will be a blessing to you.
If you're our guest, we are so glad that you're here. I love to watch our kids participate in our worship time. I don't know if you noticed, but that's probably the most participation we've had by our boys. And I told Annette that. I said, this is the most I've seen the boys interact. And she leaned over and she goes, you can thank all the boy bands for that. So Justin Bieber has contributed to the body of Christ. That's what I'm saying. So it's good to have you this morning. Let's do this. Let's pray and we'll open up the word and talk just a moment. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. We just worship you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In August of 2003, the Church of the Holy Cross in New York City was broken into not once, but twice. In the first break-in, thieves made away with a money box that was sitting right next to the candelabra. 3 weeks later, vandals escaped with something much more valuable. What they took is they unbolted a 4-foot-long, 200-pound plaster Jesus from a prayer room wall. They took the statue of Jesus, but they left something. They left the wooden cross hanging on the wall. The church caretaker said that he was a little confused by all this. He said they just decided that they would leave the cross and take Jesus. He went on to say, I figure if you want the crucifix, you need to take the whole crucifix. In other words, the caretaker was saying that if you want Jesus, you need to take his cross too. It's a little bit embarrassing to admit sometimes, but I understand the choice those thieves made, and maybe you do as well. Because I like the figure of Jesus. I like his compassion. I like the way that he treated people. I admire the clarity and the balance of his moral and ethical teachings. I love the stories that he tells. And then the character of Jesus is the perfect standard of health and wholeness. I want to be like that. I want to grow more and more every day to be just like Jesus. But according to almost every study, millions of people, even those who have never gone into church, what they say is they're very attracted to the figure of Jesus. They're very attracted to the image of Jesus. For the cross, that's another way that people believe. It's not so much the cross. When you talk about the cross, that's a difficult subject for people to embrace. Most people prefer not to get close to the cross. There's a lot of reasons probably why. They cite these kinds of reasons. Well, there's already so much blood, cruelty, and violence in this world. Why do we need the cross? People will say the wars and the horror that has taken place in the name of God. But there's another reason I think we may be inclined to take Jesus and leave the cross. I think it's because we don't fully understand why Jesus would voluntarily choose to lay down his life and die for the price of our sins. Again, millions of people, Christian people, would say, thank God that Jesus died for my sins. Thank God that Jesus stood and he took on the burden of sin upon his own life so that I wouldn't have to. It's true, Christians believe this. They say, thank you, Jesus, you died on the cross so that I wouldn't have to. In fact, when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, you find out that most of his discussion, most of his teaching has to do with Jesus taking his place, our place, on the cross. We call that substitutionary atonement. And basically it means this, Jesus took a bullet for us. Jesus took an evil bullet for us. Jesus pushed us out of the path of the judgment that was thundering down upon us because of our sin. The one innocent being in this whole universe said to the divine court, Your Honor, I will be executed in their place. Let these people go. Let them be free from their sin. Jesus stood for us. He took upon the sin of the world for us. I think about the times that I've sinned, the times that I've gone to the Lord and asked for forgiveness, and I know I've been forgiven. And I understand this, that God had every right to beat me up. God had every right to judge me for my own sin, but he didn't. When we look at our sin, when he looks at our sin, he sees Jesus Christ. I think of a prayer that my son prayed when he was about 2 years old. Before they would go to bed, I would ask my oldest son to pray, and he would pray. He had these great prayers, these stories he would tell about the Bible. And then we would ask my second son, would he pray? And every time he'd shake his head, no. This went on for months and months and months. And finally, one evening, we did the same thing. Asked my oldest son to pray, he would. My second son, when we asked him, he said yes. Annette and I just had to hold back to see what he was going to do. We didn't want to look too excited. And we said, go ahead, Ryan, you can pray. And he bowed his head, he closed his eyes, and he says, thank God he don't beat we up. And I thought, that is a perfect prayer, sound theology, because God could if he wanted to. But he hasn't done that. God doesn't beat you up. He doesn't beat me up. Jesus dying in our place is this incredible mystery around which Christ's followers all across the globe and throughout history have rallied around. This is an amazing truth of what Jesus has done for people. And I hope and I pray that everyone in this room can embrace that truth by faith. If you already haven't done that, I pray that you do. I pray that before the season of Easter is over, that you find Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because he took your sins upon himself. He died in your place. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice that was worthy, that was weighty enough to cancel the debt of your sins, to cancel the debt of my sins. Jesus made it possible for us to put our trust in him. Jesus died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. Throughout this week, I'm just going to ask that you think about that, that you pray and ask the Lord to help you understand, even in a greater way, what Jesus did for you. That's why this sermon is simply titled, The Cross, because we need to think about the cross. Before we can go into that resurrected life, we need to think about what it cost God and what it cost his son, Jesus Christ. Now, there are other reasons why some might choose to take Jesus but leave the cross. And here's one. I think it's because we don't want any of our blood shed. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We like the figure of Jesus. We like being forgiven people. But we're not sure that we want to follow or be formed by Jesus if it means taking up our own cross. But following Jesus does mean that we need to take up our own cross. Following Jesus does mean that we carry this burden that Christ has given us, this burden to share the good news that we've been redeemed, that we have a story to tell. Forgiveness of sin and the blessing of eternal life comes through accepting that Jesus did something for us on the cross, that he stood in our stead. You see, to truly follow Jesus, to really be formed into the image of Jesus Christ and knowing his abundant life comes through accepting what we must do with the cross. And you've probably already figured out, or you may have been thinking, well, where is the scripture that speaks of us bearing or taking up our own cross? That scripture is found in Mark chapter 8. And if you have your Bible, you can look there and we'll read it together. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. It says this, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their own soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. A few years ago, I heard about a sermon. The message was entitled, it was a provocative title. It was entitled, Marriage, a Sneaky Way to Get a Person Crucified. Now, that sounds a little bit out of the box, doesn't it? When I first heard it, I thought, now that's a crazy title. What in the world does marriage have to do with a crucifixion? And then I thought about it for a while, and I realized it has a lot to do with a crucifixion. You don't sign up for marriage because you're thrilled about the prospect of learning to deny yourself or losing your old way of life. You don't go into marriage thinking, oh, good, this is really going to be hard. I just really want to do this. This is going to be the most difficult thing I've probably done in all my life. Thank goodness I finally get to have my character defects nailed and my selfishness flogged. I can't wait. Nobody goes into marriage or any kind of covenant with thinking that they're going to pick up their cross or it's going to be a fun thing to pick up their cross. I don't know. Would you voluntarily sign up for a summer camp whose symbol was, let's say, a giant mosquito? Come to Camp Stinger. Your blood is our business. We want you. I don't think any parent would send their kids to a camp like that. That's kind of what's happening here. What's taking place here is it's a little crazy because when you think about what Jesus is asking us to do, what is he saying to us? He's saying, hey, pray for those who persecute you. If someone hits you, turn the other cheek. Visit those criminals in prison. Give my hard-earned money to a beggar? No way. This is all unrealistic. It's over-demanding. It's hard to walk in that way of living. It's interesting that Jesus implies in Mark chapter 8, if you look at it just for a moment, that when we perceive how hard and how counter-cultured his way is, we might actually be ashamed of his words. We might actually not declare the words of Christ when it says, hey, pick up your cross and follow me. We may want to talk about other things. We may want to talk about the abundant life. We may want to talk about healing. We may want to talk about all these good things. But when it comes to that sacrifice, really? I think if we were to give it, we would probably hide it in the fine print somewhere and say, well, yeah, kind of by the way, you need to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. That is not the way that Jesus presents his life or the life that we should live. He says boldly, this is what you need to do. Pick up your cross and follow me. Because we might be tempted to dilute, to diminish, or domesticate his teaching. I love what A.W. Tozer, one of the finest Christian leaders of the last century, said. He was concerned about the very same thing in his culture during his time. He wrote this. He said, we live in a spiritually troubled time in history. Christianity has gone over to the jingle bell crowd. In other words, Tozer left Christianity and that people had become modest in their charity. That people have actually left the difficult life. Kind of a sort of a self-indulgent Christmas cheer. A milquetoast kind of faith. He was bemoaning what people were doing back then. Well, imagine what's going on today. We could almost say the same thing with a little more emphasis. He went on to write, everyone is just delighted that Jesus has done all the sorrowing. We're delighted that he's done all the suffering. We're delighted that he's done all the dying. You see, avoiding the pain of our own cross is not a new thing. It's been going on for centuries. In fact, in a letter that Augustine wrote in the 5th century, he wrote this. It is necessary to die, but nobody wants to. We want to reach the kingdom of God, but we don't want to travel by way of death. And yet there stands necessity. Necessity saying, this way, please. This way, please. It's the calling of the cross. It's so important to remember that Jesus has a wonderful purpose in calling us to take up our cross. It's so that we could live in and be part of abundant life. That you can embrace the abundant life that Christ has for you. But there is a narrow way that you go. And that's the way of the cross. And it's good for us to talk about this going in to our Easter season. It's good for us to be reminded that there was this suffering, there was this sorrow, that Jesus took this upon himself. And he invites us into a way of living that brings eternal life. He calls us to die to our old selves. That his self, his heart, his soul, his mind, his strength, might be more abundant and alive in you, alive in me. You know, when you read Mark chapter 8, Jesus begs his followers not to trade down in life, while foolishly thinking that we're trading up. That's what he's saying. Jesus tells us, don't buy into this gain the whole world stuff. This is just the perception of the world. It's a false thing. It's not reality. Here's the blunt truth. If our goal is to be like Jesus, we must do what few people naturally do. We must choose the way of the cross. We must deny the very self that we are constantly being told by our society and sometimes by the voice in us to coddle, to preserve, to expand. Today, it's interesting, we know very little about self-sacrifice. We don't see it enough. We don't have the examples that we need to have today. Only when we look at Jesus do we really know what it means. I heard a story not too long ago of a young boy whose older brother was in a car accident. He was in the hospital, and the father went to the younger son and he said, "Listen, we want you to do this. If you would, your brother needs blood. Can you give your blood? There needs to be a blood transfusion." And the doctor said that your blood will work. It will be okay and your brother will live. Without hesitation, the little boy said, "Yes, I'll do it. I'll give my blood." So they got up the next morning and they headed down to the hospital, and it was very quiet in the car. The boy was usually talkative, but the father understood that he was thinking about some things, that he was contemplating what was going to happen ahead of him. And they got to the hospital and they walked through the front door and they went into this room, and there was a nurse who commented on how courageous this little boy was. So she got out the needle and she slowly put it into his right arm, and then one vial begins to fill up and the other vial fills up quickly. And then the young boy, with tears in his eyes, turned to his father and he asked, "Daddy, how long do I have before I die?" You see, without hesitation, he was giving his life for his brother's life. He didn't know that the transfusion wouldn't take his life. He thought all the while that he was actually giving his life up, that he was sacrificing his life, his own blood, so that his brother could live. And then I think of the scripture that says, "Greater love has no man than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." We have a great friend in Jesus, don't we? That he showed us the way. He showed us how to live this life that we need to live. Taking the way of the cross requires some conscious steps. And I want to tell you what I think those steps are. Number one, you must make a decision as to whether you want to follow Jesus. That's really the first step that we take. If you haven't made the decision to do that, in just a moment, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray together. And it's in that prayer that you can confess your sins and that you can invite Jesus into your heart. And we'll do that all together. That's really the first step that we take. It's a step of faith. It's a step of surrendering your own life. Really laying your life down and picking up the cross and following Jesus. Then the second is this. If you do decide that you want to follow Jesus, you then must accept the fact that a progressive death is required. That you're going to die every day. It's kind of a slow death. It's not something that sounds inviting, does it? But it's something that Jesus says about our lives. That we can become more and more like him. That we can develop the character of Christ. But it doesn't happen all at once. That it's a progressive dying. It's a progressive death. That every day we wake up and we say, "Today we say yes to Jesus." And we die to self. And then thirdly is this. You must decide not to turn back even when it gets hard. So the question today is, where is the way of the cross for you? What needs to be crucified, dead, and buried in you? At what intersections will you need to make a conscious choice if you want to remain in the company of Jesus or know the fullness of his life? Are you like those thieves in the story that I told about at the beginning? Do you think that you can have a crossless Christianity? Or are you ready to take the step to move more fully in following Christ? Here's what Jeremiah 6:16 says. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." There is rest for us today, true, real rest, when we pick up our cross and we follow Jesus. Would you bow your head just for a moment? We're going to pray together, all of us in this room. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask that you consider that, that you invite him into your heart. We're going to pray a prayer together. And as we do, if you would just repeat the words after me. And at the end of the prayer, I'm going to ask if you have received Christ by praying that prayer along with the rest of us. If you have, I'm going to ask that you just slip up your hand. Again, I won't call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Slipping up your hand is really a way of confession. What you're saying is, I choose today to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Here's the prayer. Would you repeat these words after me? Dear Jesus, I come to you today. I confess my sins because I know you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. I lay down my life and I pick up my cross to follow you. Today I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for life eternal. I receive that life for me today. In Jesus' name. Still with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, if you pray that prayer to receive Jesus today, would you just, where you are, slip up your hand? Again, I'm not going to call you out. I just want you to make that confession of faith. Good. If you'll just keep your hand up for a moment, we want to get you something. We have a starter kit is what we call it. Something that helps you get this life going. Something that gives you some instruction. Good. We're just slipping that into your hand. And once someone comes to you and puts that in your hand, you can put your hand down. And I want to thank you today for your faith and for your courage. That what you've done today is you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that what you've done today is you've decided to follow him. Thank you for doing that today. What I'd like you to do, if you've lifted your hand today, is tell somebody you came with. After the service is over, we'll have prayer teams available. You can go to them and tell them the decision you've made as well. But it's a confession that we make right now. We say, Lord, we've made the decision to follow you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, would you applaud the salvation of the Lord?
You can contact the church office Tuesday through Thursday from 9 to 5 and Fridays from 9 to 3 at 503-266-4444. Please visit us on the web anytime at canbefoursquare.com. Pastor Ron and others on New Life staff, along with occasional guest speakers, trust that the Holy Spirit will use the message to teach you, encourage you, and give you hope.